Welcome to Myopia Mornings.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our newest spinoff. Mission Briefing is winding down, of course, and we will have a couple exclusive for Mission Briefing subscribers only episodes coming up, kind of wrapping up the series. But for now, we're pretty much done. So we're starting a new spinoff based on an idea that Scott, regular contributor and webmaster, has been pitching for, since the beginning, but in honor of the beginning of our third season, we thought it'd be fun, fourth season, we thought it'd be fun to try now. Myopia Mornings will be a, it's an attempt to talk about some of the favorite TV shows we had growing up, and it will, it will give us an opportunity to talk about those little things that, aren't, movie length, but we still kind of sculpted our childhoods. As you can imagine, we won't be doing the entirety of the show, but we will pick a few select episodes, and in our first episode here, we will get into it a little bit, how we chose the episodes, and what we attempt to do with the show. So please enjoy. I don't usually have to do this, but I have a quick plug, actually. The comedy group that is a movie riffing group that I'm a part of called Cineprov has a show August 4th at the Plaza Theater in Atlanta on Ponce at 7:45 on August 4th. 7:45, August 4th. They're doing the kind of 70s art question mark art film, Zardoz, starring Sean Connery. I'm helping kind of write, for lack of a better term, this episode. I won't be in it, but I will be in the September episode, so stay tuned for that. Hope to see you there. Find me, I'll be in the audience. Please, go enjoy Zardoz.
The Avengers Assemble podcast from White Rocket Entertainment. Creator and fan interviews and discussion about Marvel's Avengers comics, movies, and everything else. From Van Allen Plexico and the Jarvis Heads of AvengersAssemble.net, creators of the best-selling Assembled books and the most fanatical Avengers fans on the face of the earth.
All right, guys, welcome to Myopia. This is a spin-off series that we're doing called, we're not sure yet. We'll figure that out. But it's Myopia, more in the afternoon TV style. So on panel today, we have
Scott
and
Aaron.
So Scott and I had this idea. Actually, Scott bothered me about this idea for the last 2.5 seasons. Hey, Nick, when are we going to do TV shows instead of just movies?
Yep.
Yeah. Good addition. So that's what this is. What we're going to do is we're going to take a TV show each episode. And it's going to be a regular spinoff now, not unlike Bond was. But new for season 4, once a month, we're going to do an episode of Myopia as a TV format. And so we're going to take a show. We're going to pick a couple episodes, and then we're going to see kind of not just the standard question, does the show hold up, but more of, is this a show you'd still watch as a kid? Is it still something you should, or is the whole nostalgia for it dead? Did we ruin, not unlike the movies that we do each time?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, just like the movies, is this something that you're excited to watch again? Or, with TV shows, you've got a lot more content, so we're going to watch probably an hour or 2 hours worth of episodes for each show, and then kind of get into, is it worth the other 20 hours? Like, do you really want to spend the time on it again?
Or do you want to stick your own little ones down in front of it?
Yeah, would you subject your child to our childhood nonsense, which I think is perfect for this.
Well, and of course, I'm sure right now you have thousands of shows running through your head. And feel free, join the Facebook group, email us at myopiapodcast@gmail.com, visit the website and let us know, because we have our first handful. But
everything, you know, every time I look back through IMDb, I discover another Frank Welker show that I watched way too much of, like A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, nine versions of Power Rangers, or what have you. And that's just our small early 30-something corner of it. I'm sure that there's something that I was a year too old to watch and missed completely that you guys watched all of, or a year too young. And so that's what this is for. But with that in mind, I think our first episode will intrigue most of you because it's something that I guess Steven Spielberg, who comes up 30 times in this, desperately wanted to find the magic of yet again. And so we're starting with Animaniacs. Okay, so the way that we did this, and we will do every episode, is we're going to pick a few. I picked two episodes, Scott and Aaron picked two episodes, and then we had each other watch them, and I took notes for once, because, well, frankly, Animaniacs is hard, because it's kind of a ensemble.
Yeah, it's four episodes, but, what, 12, maybe 10 segments? Like, 10 mini-episodes that we watched?
And a musical number?
Yeah, and little asides, and so it's a lot of content. For you know, 80 minutes. So, well, and we took notes as well. Look at that.
We prepared. I think before we get, I think the first episode that we got to was yours, which was, I think, episode two. We should kind of talk about this as a show, the ensemble as a show. So what do you remember? We can start with Aaron.
I've got a thing for jingles. And since they, in the opening jingle of this song, they talk about every single character, I actually had some memories of every single character that comes up in this show. And there are a lot of them. I'll spare you me singing the jingle, but if you go back and revisit it, every single character that's a mainstay gets mentioned. So when it came time to choose episodes of Animaniacs, I was like, ooh, we've got to choose one with Chicken Boo. I want to see that one. And I remembered specifically, like, let's do the episode with General Beauregard, which is astonishing to me because this show was what, like 1992, 1993. Yeah. So I was very much a child when I was watching this show, but very specific episodes stood out to me. I was also big into musicals. I was like that nerdy theater kid. A lot of musicals are covered in this. It has so many history and film references. I was really excited actually to visit this one.
Well, and I remember this was a show I wanted to watch when I was a kid, and it was much harder to find. For whatever reason, like Ren and Stimpy, you could find easily. Like, they came out with the DVDs pretty quick. But this one, like, they didn't have DVDs right away, and so it was kind of hard to find. And a lot of the kids' WB shows still aren't out, like Hysteria, which we might get to, and even the Pinky and the Brain spinoff, which came, like, halfway through this show. Like, they released the first season, then, like, nothing else for a while, because...
Yep. Aaron owns that.
Yeah. That's also a good spinoff. What about you, Scotty Boy? What do you remember?
Yeah, for me, I remembered the theme song almost, like, perfectly, especially Baloney in Our Slacks.
Ooh, yes.
By far my favorite line. And the Nations of the World song.
Which
is in episode two. It's the opener, and it's why we picked it, because it's, like, the first thing that comes to mind whenever I think of this show is Nations of the World. Yakko's World, as they call it. And it's still amazing. It's like the Mexican hat dance song, and he does all the nations that were recognized to exist in 1993, plus a couple of little throw-ins. And, like, it's, what, a minute and a half?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And I don't even know how they animated that. Like, it's crazy. I mean, he touches every single nation, and he's dancing around. And I remember that so clearly. And I have a terrible memory, so... I mean, if there's anyone with myopia, it is me. I remember loving Animaniacs, and all I remember is Nations of the World.
Well, I mean, to wit, General Beauregard is just as short. Like,
yeah.
Chicken Boo is like a minute long.
Yeah.
The theme song's almost as long as that whole little segment, which is really weird. I mean, the thing that I remember, because I think it finally ended up on Amazon Prime or something like that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, is how many other of these little spinoffs there are. Like, I remembered Pinky and the Brain. I remember the occasional Chicken Boo sketch. But there's... God, one of the ones I chose had those goddamn hippos. Oh, I think that was my first. It was the third note I wrote. It was just fucking hippos. Like, yeah. Like, literally, I wrote down the title and then fucking hippos.
I wrote the hip hippos.
Ugh.
That was, and you're right, everything had its own little, like.
That's like a 10-minute segment.
Oh, it's the whole episode other than the opening bit, which is incredibly worth watching. And then the rest of it is completely garbage. There's Minerva Mink and, like, Katie Kaboom and all this stuff. And frankly, the Goodfellas ended up in two of our episodes, and they're almost unwatchable.
They're okay. To me, it's the Goodfeathers, as they're called. I mean, it's just Goodfellas. I mean, there's a Ray Liotta, there's a Joe Pesci, and there's Robert De Niro. And they're really obvious about who's who, and they even do the narration and everything. So to me, that's, like, enjoyable just as, like, a reference and, you know, every version of you think I'm funny, I'm a clown, I amuse you. I mean, he's like, I'm a hero, I'm a large sandwich with piles of meat that satisfies your hunger. Like, oh my God.
That was unwatchable. And in fact, Robert De Niro's character even goes, like, you've been an extra big jerk this episode.
I'm really angry this episode.
Well, I think that actually brings up the biggest thing about this show that struck me on the rewatch was just how much of it is referencing classic material and how much as a kid I did not get. So I actually ended up asking Scott about halfway through our watch, you know, how much of this would actually hold our attention, you know, get most of the references. And now on rewatch, the most enjoyable part that I found was the references, because frankly, some of the sketches, the way that the episodes are broken down, some of them have basically two sketches and some of the episodes have three and or possibly four sketches. And I found the ones with more sketches much easier to watch, because if there was a sketch in there that you didn't like, it was over quicker and the pacing was better. The pacing on the episodes that only had like two sketches, if you didn't like one of them, you're stuck there for a solid 10 to 12 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that hippos, like we were saying, that hippo sketch is 9 or 10 minutes long.
Unwatchable.
And none of it is watchable. Like, yeah. I, you know, I couldn't even figure out what I would have liked about that sketch as a kid. I mean, it's
got, is that the one that started with like the Apocalypse Now reference?
No, that was a different one.
The hippos were in the jungle with like Jane Goodall watching them.
Right.
They decide to move to the big city.
Oh yeah.
And it's got like realty jokes.
The only thing that's like kid funny is like the physical comedy, like when she gets crushed to death.
Oh yeah, she does die a lot.
But I mean, that's it. Yeah, it's stupid.
But I mean, like, so I mean, the two episodes that Nick picked here were like straight up movie homages and parodies, with the Seventh Seal, and a little bit of Persona, a lot of Ingmar Bergman going on, and then Apocalypse Now and The Birds. And I mean, as Aaron was saying, I mean, Aaron's sitting here, you know, her 30s, she's studied film, she's been in film production, and she's still turning to me like, what is this reference supposed to be? I'm like, oh, that's Dennis Hopper's LSD'd out crazy photographer character from Apocalypse Now. And she's like, okay, sure. And I'm thinking, you know, when I was 8 or 9 when this came out, I obviously didn't know that they were playing a parody of The Doors at the end throughout that entire episode.
And then they run over Jim Morrison.
Yeah,
with the car.
Yeah, they run over Jim Morrison, or that these were Jerry Lewis references, or that this was all Apocalypse Now with the narration, or what the horror meant when Yakko is just pulling lines straight out of Apocalypse Now. Like, I mean, it's fun to watch now, just in like, that's a good reference. But like, yeah, when you're 8 or 9 today, still, like, you don't know what's happening in this episode.
Well, I mean, and to point, first of all, the Animaniacs are generally the best part of these episodes, right? Because even these parodies, like,
yeah, them and Pinky and the Brain.
And Pinky and the Brain and is like, the one most solid spinoff.
Well, and that's why they spun it off, because they're like, we can do something else with it. But I mean, the Goodfellas made no sense to me, because Goodfellas came out, what, 2 years before, a year before, like 92, 91? And it's barely for me as an adult, like for a kid. I mean, it's like the Pulp Fiction joke in the middle of Space Jam, where they
just... Well, you know, there, a lot of this kid stuff, as we've seen, you know, rewatching it, they got to throw in something for the adults. At least when you're taking them to the movies, the adults have to be there. I mean, someone's got to take you there. But if you can park your kid in front of the TV and at 3 o'clock and they're watching Animaniacs and it's like 10 minutes of Apocalypse Now, I mean, or The Seventh Seal, I mean,
but no parents saw The Seventh Seal.
Right. Yeah. And no one listening right now has seen it except for like film school guy.
I did.
Who's like,
Google it.
Yeah. But, you know, like,
wait.
Doesn't need to watch the show with the kid. They're not captive to the show here. They can be in the kitchen and they can be
reading
a newspaper.
Which begs the question, who was this written for?
Yeah.
The writers.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I mean, but that's what it is. It reminds me a lot of old Looney Tunes bit where they would write themselves into classic, like, Universal horror movies or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, that's what it is, right? That's what they also did in Tiny Toon Adventures, where they just kind of slotted themselves into classic movies that no one else had seen.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and then we can kind of go through, we should go through some of these things that you guys actually decided to do. So the first two, the first one was yours, and it's got kind of some classic Animaniacs bits in it, right? So we have the Nations of the World, in which they included, I know it made a note of it, you texted me one, but they made a note of mentioning both Palestine and Puerto Rico as nations, which is great. And I was like, how many of these countries changed it? A lot of them changed.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure if you wrote down all of Africa while he's spending half the time on Africa, you'd be like, oh, a lot of those countries don't exist or different names
or the Balkans, right? All those countries are like Yugoslavia. I'm like, not anymore.
Yeah.
Yugoslavia. Rob Paulsen has a podcast, and him and Maurice LaMarche and all them are on it occasionally, and he can still do the Nations of the World song, and he'll do it in the voice. Because, you know, like you said, kids always want him to go like, can you do the song? And he's like, yeah. But then Cookies for Einstein, which is worth mentioning, because it's kind of like all of their bits.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cookies for Einstein makes no sense. You know, they're selling Girl Scout cookies in Switzerland for some reason. The Warner brothers and the sister Dot.
They get to objectify someone.
It's nice. I mean, it starts... It kind of is the second episode. And this jumps right into a lot of thing that they do a lot, is they just did a geography lesson. Here's all the countries of the world. And they did, you know, the title Cookies for Einstein, and it says Burn Switzerland. And then here's like five facts about Switzerland. You know, they're famous for chocolate and whatnot. And so, they just start you out right off the bat with like, here's some fun facts, here's some things you can learn. Now here's some physical comedy, and we'll inject some bits about Einstein, you know, a little bit, just so you know, Einstein E equals MC squared. That's what you as a kid should learn from this. Otherwise, enjoy the slapstick. And they kind of do that a lot. They'll bring in historical figures or bring in different nations and try to give you a couple of facts and a little something so that you as an adult watching it can go, yeah, I'm cool with my kid watching this because they're learning something.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of. They're learning two things, which is better than no things.
Which is better than no things. Exactly. I don't know. I mean, and it's kind of neat because that is the format of the show. Like, I think I was flipping through, like you said, the Wikipedia descriptions of the episodes, and like, they harass Beethoven, they harass Picasso, they harass Van Gogh, they harass, it's all of them.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Yeah. I did like about this episode that they actually open with the story of the Warners, which you kind of get just from the opening credits that they do on every episode, but they actually have a little, I don't know if it's like a minute, 2 minute bit that they run on the first couple of episodes to explain where Yakko, Wacko, and Dot came from.
And they do it newsreel style.
Yeah old school 40s. Newsreel style. Yeah.
Halfway through, there's an episode, if I recall correctly, where it's designed to be like one of those old Friars Club roasts, and just having people cut in with like, oh, and Lee Marvin hated Yakko. And then, like, that's all it is. It's just, like, they're, like, old Hollywood people, like, oh, but, you know, Milton Berle hated Yakko. Like, it's just... as I recall, Wacko took out a mallet and crushed him. Like, it's just... But, yeah, I do. I do like the old Hollywood references for no reason. Again, it's who's it for? It's for no one, but it's for whatever.
Yeah.
But we should go through some of these. This is also our Pinky and the Brain one. We have a Pinky and the Brain bit.
Yep, it's the first Pinky and the Brain sketch.
They go on Jeopardy.
Yeah, it's total nonsense, like they all are. They're like every night they're trying to take over the world with some insane scheme, which I believe this time was some kind of machine that makes everyone with change in their pocket fall to the ground indefinitely.
Which dated this immediately, because I don't have change in my pocket.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, where is my change?
Well, and
under my car seat or something. And
it's to make an infundibulator. I wrote that word out.
Infundibulator.
And Pinky's question is, what if people take their pants off?
Yeah.
And Bray's like, well, we should work quickly then.
Yeah.
Again, it's an honest laugh. I also wrote down here, is Brain our friend Matt? Because he goes, I'm not immune to humor. Anyway, and then he essentially just ends on Jeopardy, where he loses because he doesn't understand the Honeymooners,
exactly.
Which is Ralph Cramden.
Oh, yeah.
Again, an old Hollywood bit that no one would get. The only other note I wrote down on this, which is that one of the other contestants is Ron Howard, because it's Spielberg making fun of him. But it's the bald guy, it's the guy with the red hair, the ring of red hair, and the big goofy teeth, and his name is Ron. Which is great.
Dang. There you go, right over my...
No, I got everything. I wrote down a whole bunch of these.
Well, then, of course, this starts the... this will actually be a theme just in the ones we watched, which is Pinky's voice. I mean, not Pinky. Brain's voice is Orson Welles. Mm-hmm. Like a, you know, fake Orson Welles accent voice, you know, whatever. And, like, and through the episodes we watched, it's just, like, constantly referencing Hollywood directors, whether it's Spielberg, I think, produced the thing.
Yeah.
And Hitchcock, and we'll see later, and then Jerry Lewis and Francis Coppola and stuff like that. I mean, they tried to create the Warners as they were an actual acting troupe in the Warner Brothers studio system that failed, and so they kind of bring in these other characters as if they're all actually in the studio system, and I think that's kind of that opens them to have all these fun references and things like that. But there is a lot of, like, you know, again, a kid would never know that's Orson Welles' voice or
well, I mean, and they do a lot of Looney Tunes bits too, because, like, Yakko is supposed to be Marx, right? And
Groucho,
yeah, and I mean,
Wacko is Ringo, and yeah,
and oh god, what's her name? Dot is supposed to be kind of a little bit Lucille Ball, but also that the sketch group, Something in Burns, and I forget what it is.
There's so much to talk about.
And revisiting.
It's easy to jump around.
Well, right. I mean, as opposed to, say, something like Are You Afraid of the Dark, where it's just one 45-minute episode.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, like, this one will have, like you said, 12 shorts.
Yeah, we watch, like, 10, 12 shorts, and they overlap a lot. Like, these three are about directors. These are about movie pairs.
And then there was a war, like, movie one.
Yeah, like, they connect, and so it requires a lot of jumping around.
Anyway, the episode ended with the Wheel of Morality, which is a joke they go through a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's what I remembered, and I didn't realize it wasn't in every episode, but it was kind of funny. Like, they must have had, like, a wall of bits, and then they filmed a bunch of them, and then they just assembled it into the full-length episode, which is why sometimes there's songs, sometimes there aren't. They even make the joke in the theme song about that, which is that they're pay for play, which means there's just a cast of people, and whenever they pay them for their episodes, and that's kind of it. Frank Welker must be everything, because he's Chicken Boo making the clucks, and he's also the dog in Rita and Runt, and he's just... my God, he just...
he makes animal noises for a living.
He literally is made out of gold. Like, at this point, he will live forever. Yep. Like,
oh, man.
Anyway, the next episode is the one I chose, the Meatballs episodes, which is, we already referred to, the Ingmar Bergman. Anyway, so that was the next one was my choice, Meatballs or Consequences, which is literally, they play death after a Swedish meatball competition. And this is your joke, too, because you're like, they're teaching us about Sweden,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they come up, everyone talks like the Swedish chef, and the guy's rubbing...
It literally says, Sweden, home to meatballs and Volvos. That's it. They're like, you're done.
And the guy, they're just like, Wacko's having a meatball eating contest with this guy, Swedish meatballs, of course. And his buddy is rubbing his shoulder, and he goes, you can't lose, men, quote, gotta help the wife, or no, he goes, I bet my Volvo on you?
Yeah.
And then when death shows up because Wacko eats too many meatballs and literally dies, he goes, This one guy goes, gotta help my wife export some iron ore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Learn your facts.
Yeah. The two things.
Yeah.
And death has an hourglass which breaks at one point, and we see the sands of time, and Dot goes, how Spielbergian. And that was it. That was a cut. That was just a line.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Of course, death has a very strong Swedish accent.
He does. He sounds like a Swedish chef parody.
Yep.
And then they don't know chess. Chess is... Okay, we'll post this to the Instagram, the Facebook, and all that crap, but you've got to see this because they do the talking in profile that Ingmar Bergman's known for. And if you haven't seen it, Seven Seals is an incredible film. I watched it on my own. I was a film major or minor. And it's a guy coming back from the Crusades, and he has the plague with him, and he's spreading the plague to everyone. So he's playing death in chess, right? Like, it's his moral battle, knowing that you can't beat death. Like, that's the whole thing. And the Warner Brothers cheat death. They literally cheat death by cheating at checkers, and they win the day.
Yep.
Which is great.
Yeah.
It's honestly, I was laughing loud enough to bother my wife.
I mean, it has moments that flood back to you. Like, it has the talk, you know, very Swedish art movie, art film scenes where, you know, Yakko right in the front of the frame is just, are we dead or is this Ohio?
Yeah. And then when they win, Dot goes, you put up a heck of a fight for the literary personification of non-being.
Yes.
Which I just was like, my God.
Which is why I enjoyed this so much.
Well, it is why it stuck out to me. I was like, was there a Seven Seal parody in a kid's cartoon in 93 when you couldn't get, like, because the thing is, nowadays, I could pull it up on YouTube and be like, this is what it is. In 93, like, there's not even Criterion streaming. Like,
who in America had that movie?
I don't know
if it was on Laserdisc at that time.
Right, like, it's just, it's amazing. And then, like, at the end, the whole thing is the death tricks them so they all die. And they're like, we love you, Death. And like, we'll be together forever. Can we call you Dadu? And I've decided to make my daughter call me Dadu.
Dadu. And of course, they bother Death so much that Death runs away and leaves them alone.
Yeah. In a very Looney Tunes kind of cut and scream and run off.
Oh, yeah.
And then this one is when we get just awful.
Well, we get Dot's poetry corner for about 30 seconds.
Which was fun.
Which is her reading nursery rhymes as though she's a slam poet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Andrew Dice Clay for girls, right? Because that's what he would do too, right?
Yeah.
Again, 92, like, you've got to think, like, he filled Madison Square.
Who's this for? Yeah.
Well, the bit is for kids. The actual joke is for adults because, again, this is him doing, like, Little Miss Muffet sat on a toffet. Hey! Like, that's, he filled Madison Square with that bullshit.
Adjusting his necktie.
Yeah. Rodney.
That's Rodney. Yeah. Clay had the leather jacket, though.
Yeah, and the fingerless gloves.
Yeah,
what an asshole.
Anyway.
But this is the moving experiments. This is the hippos. The only thing I wrote down is this is Flintstones bullshit, and then I stopped writing because this pissed me off.
Yeah, avoid that one.
The only one I said, the only joke that I use a lot is calling it the Banana Republican store. Which is just, again, yuppie bullshit.
Yeah.
The next episode we did was mine, which was The Hearts of Twilight, which is the parody of Hearts of Darkness, where a director has gone out of control. This is actually more based on an incredible documentary about him making Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, which mirrors the story of Apocalypse Now pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, they were out in the jungle. They were all going crazy. Dennis Hopper was on LSD. Like, they were all in Marlon Brando. I mean...
really did start, like, thinking of himself as a cult leader.
Yeah, the heat was getting everybody, and... yeah, it's really based on the documentary Heart of Darkness about Coppola going off the reservation, and we said we had a better conversation about that already.
Well, I mean, and then the whole thing was like they're talking to the CEO, who's a very regular character as well, Mr. Plotz, because he's advancing the plot. And that's it, yeah. And the accountants go, he's over budget. We sent 5 accountants, and they haven't come back. They've disappeared. And the guy leans in and goes, isn't that spooky? And then they cut away, and I'm just like, yeah, this is right. They're telling us. They're projecting everything.
Oh, yeah.
And
they do it. They do it so well. Like, we hit on it earlier. They do all the Apocalypse Now. It starts with, this is the beginning of our story. Like, and I pause it. I'm like, this is they're doing the Doors.
And because that scene is incredible. It's Harrison Ford comes in, gives them the exact same kind of mission, right, in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you cut to this kind of really weird scene where he's traveling through the desert.
And it has the narration, as Martin Sheen's, like, real sour narration, and Yakko's doing it, just, like, totally dark, and he's throwing in little quotes, and the one I wrote down that I really liked was they're clearly going through all the different rides and stuff at Universal Studios instead of WB, and he goes, "And we saw such horror. Oh, the horror." And it's the ticket prices for the Universal Studios.
And it was only
tour.
27.
It was like $29.
No, I wrote that down too. By the way, did you catch the movie that they were making?
I don't think I did.
It's the movie is called The Wretched Clown, which is The Day the Clown Cried, which is that movie that is never going to be released ever, ever, ever. That
there you go.
Yeah, right. You know this
one,
right?
The director turns out to be Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis, exactly.
So they got to do all this Jerry Lewis referencing.
And he's even filmed in shadow, like Apocalypse.
Yeah, he starts just like Marlon Brando. Like,
oh,
he's trying to tell a little story about like a little animal or something, and then it goes right into full Nutty Professor mode. Even like both sides of the Nutty Professor.
It's amazing.
It's total silly nonsense, and it's fun to watch and keep up with all the references like that. I enjoyed with all the references.
Well, it's like an airplane movie. Like it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's Zucker Abrams.
Catch as many references as you can and watch it again.
And then, I mean, the only other bit to this was the birds, which is Goodfellow, which is, I think they say you talking to me 50,000 times.
Yep, every version of that possible. Hitchcock is actually Hitchcock in this one.
Yeah,
and he says good evening every single time he talks,
which is a reference to his TV show.
Yeah,
Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Yep, which is how the episode opens.
Which is huge guy. He sits on them. It's a lot of fat jokes.
Yep, fat jokes. And his assistant is Norman. If you caught that, he looks like Norman Bates, and his assistant is Norman.
And I mean the thing that I didn't appreciate as a kid that I appreciate now much more watching classic cinema is how good they do the parodies of people. We'll get to your General Beauregard episode, but they do a really good Rhett Butler.
Yeah.
Who's playing for the Union side instead of Confederates.
Yeah, he's on the Union side this time.
Yeah. that one does chip away a little bit at your historical accuracy, but we'll get there. But the birds is my favorite stupid joke is the guy who's playing the Goodfellas feathers end up being stunt doubles. Okay.
Yeah.
But the stunt double for someone who's doing a parody of Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was good.
We spent about half that episode being like, who are they parodying here? And I'm like, there's a point where it seems like Jack Nicholson. And then Aaron
was
like,
there's a point where it's like Christian Slater.
Yeah.
In his conspiratorial
role. But to be fair,
the critic
Christian
made a great
Slater.
Joke about this, by the way. The critic did a total Jack Nicholson, Christian Slater, Can You Tell Them Apart movie. That stinks.
Well, they did A Few Good Men where it was, instead of Tom Cruise, it was Christian Slater. And they're just doing the parodies of each other. It's like, you sound like me, you look like me, you're trying to steal my career, but I'm going to outlive you, you asshole. Like, it's kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
Christian Slater still sounds like Jack Nicholson when he's doing his Archer character, Slater.
Yep.
He has no career left.
No. No, he's a Mr. Robot. He's doing fine.
Yeah, he's fine, okay.
Anyway, yeah. Well, I guess we can go to the last episode we watched.
Which is one of yours.
Themed.
Dodo Boys. Another Good Feathers catch.
Yeah.
Yep, Good Feathers, like we were saying. We weren't saying. Well, the Good Feathers doing messenger pigeons in World War I, I think.
Yeah.
And
I wrote two comments here. Messenger cats, because the very British general, who's essentially doing Blackadder. Right.
Oh, okay.
Blackadder is a Mr. Bean. Not Mr. Bean. It's Rowan Atkinson. But each season is a different generation, and so you start out in the medieval period, and you go all the way. The last season is World War I, and you have this very British general who's obsessed with staying clean. Again, it's very inside baseball. but my second, and he's like, I hate birds. Cats are much cleaner. We should get cats.
Yeah,
messenger cats. My second note is fuck Joe Pesci.
I wrote endless Joe Pesci do I amuse you references
for kids who don't get it.
And then we mentioned it before, but you've been in a bad mood this entire time.
Which honestly was
Robert De Niro bird just had it by that point.
Robert De Niro bird.
But yeah, they end up wanting to be war heroes, but it doesn't matter because they miss the battle.
And they do dumb airplane style jokes, like when they finally get their message to the other encampment, it's they get the message to the two generals. general store and general admission.
Yeah.
Right, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But those are jokes that I could get as a kid that are still kind of funny.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The next one, I'm convinced is a conspiracy. Okay, the next one, they end up joining the military.
Yeah, Wacko, Yakko, and Dot accidentally join the military and go through boot camp. Yeah.
They get on the wrong bus to summer camp, and they end up signing. But the reason I think this is weird is there's also two stupid dogs, and a Ren and Stimpy, and I believe, yeah. And there's even a Rugrats. Like, everyone was joining the military, and didn't know it was such a trope, but everyone does it in the early 90s. Maybe it's a Desert Storm thing. I don't know. Thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just weird.
Well, I do feel like they get political sometimes. Like, even just in the country song, like mentioning Palestine as a country, I feel like that's like a slightly political move.
Same with Puerto Rico. They were trying to get statehood at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do feel like they stick a little bit in there just to see if you're, I guess, as an adult, because as a kid, you totally don't get it. But as an adult, if you're paying attention. So, yeah, I definitely would think that a joining the army kind of thing at this time had that overtone for sure.
Yeah.
So, like, this episode is good. This is one of the Animaniacs bits. And like you said, there's kind of little political jokes here or there. They sign up for the military. They don't want to join the military. They're forced to join the military anyway. They're on a bunch of Vietnam rejects, you know, guys with huge beards and long hair, right? Yeah. And so the first scene we see them is getting their hair cut. Yakko does it fine, but Wacko has the hair that doesn't cut, right? He keeps painting it back on. Yeah. He has his hat. It's the only scene we've seen without a hat. The first guy, though, again, it's an animation joke because I'm this guy, but the first person that's in the chair that Wacko ends up in is Private Snafu, who is a World War II propaganda tool, and he was always the one to tell you to buy war bonds in Looney Tune bits. That's why it looks so, like, the way you can tell is that they have a very specific animation style, then all of a sudden there'll be someone who looks like a Looney Tune bit, and I bet you you're
Aaron
like...
Aaron remarked that it looks like Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
And so you could tell it was certainly an homage to a different animation style.
But you should look it up, because Private Snafu, there's like a bunch of them on YouTube, but like it'll be like, don't pick up Japanese prostitutes, and like, so he'll go off and then he'll get a VD.
American.
Right.
And I don't know if you noticed this, the barber was Floyd the Barber from the Andy Griffith Show.
I saw that too. Yeah. And he even had the voice.
Yeah. And it references Opie.
Yes, he does.
Another little attack of Ron Howard.
But it was for you. You were right. You caught it before I did, because I didn't get it until he said Opie. And then I was like, I should have gotten it.
Well, then all comes flooding back. We were like, oh my God, that was Floyd the whole time. It's the voice, even looked like him and everything. But other than that, I don't feel like I remember it much from this segment.
No, I mean,
I didn't write down anything besides Floyd the Barber and one line that the drill instructor said where they're all over him, the Warners, and he goes, "What? Get off of me, you. What are you anyway?" Yeah. And Dot says, "Infested with fleas." And I actually laughed out loud.
The only joke I wrote down is like, we're trying to make you agents of total destruction. He goes, "We don't want to be mailmen. We want real jobs." But at the very end, they get thrown out of a plane, which also happens with Ren and Stimpy. They become tank paratroopers.
There you go.
We should watch that episode where we do Ren and Stimpy inevitably. But but at the end, halfway down, the colonel, the drill sergeant doesn't have a parachute because they washed it because it was dirty. But Wacko has one built in, and then Yakko looks directly to camera and goes, "Don't worry, kids, it's almost over."
Yeah.
Which is something they did a lot. They referenced the audience all the time. That's my introduction to meta humor as a kid.
It's very Bugs Bunny. I mean, Yakko is very Bugs Bunny. He does Bugs Bunny logic in the Einstein episode, reversing it. Like, get out of my house. Well, this is your house. You get out of this house. Yes, and Einstein's like, well, all right then. And, you know, he's definitely that Groucho. I mean, that's
and Bugs I love Bunny's those. I love those nods back to the Looney Tunes, because Looney Tunes were also Warner Brothers, were they not?
Yes.
Yeah. So Looney Tunes were also Warner Brothers. And I loved those nods back to where they came from and people who honestly probably influenced them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at this point, it's very self-referential. I mean, back to episode 4 of the podcast, Daffy has the Warner Brothers logo on his butt and he kisses his ass because he's kissing Warner Brothers ass the whole time. But this leads us to the reason you chose this episode, which is General Beauregard.
Yeah. And I don't know why this one stuck out in my head, but it always stuck out to me that there's this chicken that goes around and doesn't speak and is so obviously a chicken with a wig on. And no one except there's always one guy who's like, he's a chicken, when everybody else is, you know, know, falling down and worshiping whatever hero that he's supposed to represent. It, for some reason, always stuck with me. And then I guess lately I kind of realized I feel like the Trump presidency is sort of like a Chicken Boo episode. So I've been thinking about Chicken Boo a lot. I've had Chicken Boo on the brain, I think.
He's a chick.
So I
well, and I mean, frankly, it was 93. I'll bet you it was a Clinton parody at first, right? Because, I mean, it's like,
well,
the Simpsons.
Well, they've got him in the opening. They opened, yeah, they had him in the opening sequence.
Arkansas, they reference him a bunch.
Yep. Well, I mean, again, it's Simpsons. Like, he's just walking around thrusting the whole time in the 90s, too. But yeah, okay, so he's a Confederate general, General Beauregard.
Yep.
And he is a legend who's supposed to save the day when everyone's starving to death, right?
Yeah.
And he rides up on his white horse as the hero, and he's a giant chicken.
Yeah. He's a chicken! And of course, they're like, how dare you call our general a chicken?
But apparently he beat General Braddock at Shiloh. Beauregard was there, but he lost at Shiloh to Grant. And then he beat Sherman in Atlanta, which, as someone who lives in Atlanta, no one beat Sherman in Atlanta. He did just fine. And then finally they're waiting for the Battle of Appomattox. There is no Battle of Appomattox. That's just where everyone surrendered. And like we said already, Rhett Butler was on the wrong side. Although the only thing I could think of was, I don't know if this was Confederate pride in 93, but the idea that everyone was worshipping a giant chicken is kind of a much better joke than anything Trevor Noah's come up with. Colbert's being investigated by the FCC. I get to make jokes.
This is all nonsense.
This is literally 100% nonsense.
I did like it was implied that we lost the war because we were following a giant chicken.
I do. Yeah. I mean, again, I love it. We lost the war. I wasn't even here yet. My family is part Mexican, part German, and half Belgian, so I wasn't even American back then.
Yeah, I wasn't. My line wasn't here either, so.
Yeah. Look at him. He's too swarthy. He's so swarthy. He's European. But yeah, so that's our Animaniacs foursome. What do you guys think?
I mean, we kind of touched on a lot of stuff. Like, for me, enjoying a lot of the film references and, like, little weirdo fun facts. You know, here's all you need to know about Sweden. Meatballs and all of it.
Meatballs and iron ore.
It's like, here's enough to get you through. Like, so if you hear Sweden, you kind of get some references. But, like, you know, there's a lot of segments that don't work and characters that are purely for kids. And we didn't get to watch a lot of the different characters in these episodes, like Slappy or the,
thank God,
any of the dogs they have in the two different groups. And like, yeah, Katie Kaboom and stuff like that. You know, they kept adding characters. And for me, it's really like Pinky and the Brain and the Warners, and Chicken Boo is hilarious. It's like 90 seconds of just total nonsense. Like, how did this chicken get this far in a human?
It reminds me of the outfit. It reminds me of that short where it's like the Ned Flanders show for like two seconds. That's what it is. It's just the theme song, a single joke. That's the same joke each time, and then we're out.
Everybody
loves
Ned Flanders. Yeah, it's the except not me. But yeah, Chicken Boo, I think, is really funny. So I mean, you know, the stuff I remember is like the Warners and weird references, and I still enjoy that and probably enjoy it more now as an adult because I can actually, you know, get an Apocalypse Now, Doors, Dennis Hopper reference than I definitely wouldn't when I was eight. So I think it's still suitable for kids because it aims at kids, gives adults something, and gives kids a little fun facts or gives them something to ask about, like who's Einstein, or, you know, I would be happy to dive back in and watch a few more or watch specific segments like Chicken Boo or Pinky and the Brain or whatever. And I would show it to children still. I mean, it's not like violent or
wasn't embarrassed watching it.
Obscene or anything. Yeah.
Go ahead, Aaron. What about you?
Basically, everything that Scott said. I really enjoyed getting all the references. It was actually fun. It was kind of like a game. They do make it pretty obvious when they're making some sort of reference, and I won't say that we didn't hit Google several times to kind of try to figure out what they were referencing. But that was fun. It was. It was very much like a game. So I'd go back to it for that. We actually even looked up a couple additional Chicken Boo episodes just to check it out and how ridiculous it was. Also, like Scott said, I do think that there are certain segments that for adults are just painful to go through. The hippos, even though we didn't watch them, the one with the little baby and the dog.
Buttons and Mindy
is basically a chase and be chased, like a Tom and Jerry or something like that. And I just don't really think that I'd enjoy going back to those. Or, you know, even Rita and Runt, they sing a lot. Not really one that I'd revisit. But if there's an episode that has the Yakko, Wakko, and Dot, definitely Pinky and the Brain, which I really think those are the two strongest segments that you're going to find. Those are definitely worth checking out.
Well, let's just wrap it up. I love the show. There's not enough beans behind it or enough juice behind it, whatever you want to say, to do what they did with The Simpsons. But I wish there was someone who would buy it out like The Simpsons and you could sort by things and you could just watch the Animaniacs short. I almost did one called King Wakko, or Quick King Yakko, excuse me, where it's all of Duck Soup in a single episode, which is hilarious. I saw it. It's great. I rewatched it already. But they did the hardest thing ever, which is take a comedy and make it funny on its own. It's really easy to make fun of bad movies or dramas and make them comedies. It's really hard to make a comedy funny in a different way. I mean, but to your point, like, I can't watch half this crap. It's really about, like, the only Rita and Runt one I like is they do all of Les Mis in kind of like a Sweeney Todd style where someone's rounding up cats to turn them into meat for pies. But they sing, it's all as a musical, and it's 7.5 minutes long, and then they're out.
Yeah.
But it's the same joke each time. Like, every Rita and Runt, like, Rita becomes worship, but she's going to be sacrificed and Runt has to save her. Like, Mindy gets into scrapes. It's unwatchable. And I know Frank Welker needs to be paid for every dog bark, and that's half that show, but he could have laid off a little bit. And it's a shame, because once they get rid of Pinky and the Brain to have its spinoff, they just filled it in with even more crap.
Yeah.
However, yeah, the show is great. Tune in, because we'll get more of this. And please, visit the website, join the Facebook group, and email us shows you want us to do, because eventually we'll need stuff, because my childhood memory is being slowly consumed by alcohol. But tune in next month when we do another afternoon special, when we make you wish you had cable from 1997, I guess. Thanks, guys.
And now, the nations of the world, brought to you by Yakko Warner.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean,
Greece. Myopia Mornings is a podcast of DudeLetter.com and a spinoff of Myopia Defend Your Childhood, released by ESO Networks. The hosts are Nick Hoffman, Scott Miller, and Aaron Greer. The theme song comes free from bensounds.com. Interested in communicating with us? Join the Facebook group at Myopia Podcast and DudeLetter.com. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcast. Thanks. Bulgaria, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Cyprus, Iraq, and Iran. There.